God, we hear from so many voices, so many places that claim to be true, but it's your voice that we need to hear. God, would you speak to us today? Speak to us in ways that you've spoken to us in the past. You've told us you will continue to speak to us throughout the future through your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that you've given us. I thank you for this opportunity today to share something that you've laid upon my heart. And I pray that it weighs heavy on everyone else as well. And that we heed your word. Your word is true. And we thank you for this time. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's turn to Matthew 12:30. Give me a second to get there. Matthew 12:30.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So Matthew 12:30 says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Let's think about that for a second. That's a pretty strong words. If you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't gather with me, you're scattering. That's about as strong as it gets right there. So we'll dig more into that here in just a minute. Who here has been discipled? Somebody in your life came alongside you and met with you? I've said this before, but I'm a product of discipleship. Somebody who was discipled by a navigator, I don't know if you know what the navigators are, you can look it up sometime. Somebody who was discipled by a navigator came to me and discipled me. We met once a week, and I'm going to pound this one a lot because this is something that's really heavy on my heart. He came alongside me, we met weekly for probably 2.5 years. Think about that, 2.5 years of his life. He spent one day a week with me, or not one day a week, but a couple hours in the evening. He spent that time with me. He was deliberate. He came, this guy's name was Mike Chandler. He came up, give a little bit of synopsis. I was working avionics in a back shop on the F-15 in Oregon. And he was coming into our shop. He would go around. He probably once a week, maybe twice a week, and he just walked from station to station. Our shop was maybe twice the size of this room, and he would go from station to station, and he would talk to everybody. He was praying the whole time, looking for somebody, asking God, who is it? Who is this person? It may not have even been one of us, but it may have been one of us, so he didn't know, so he was praying, he was asking. He came to me. He said the final night he was there, he said, "Jeff, I was outside, I was praying, and I was asking God, okay, God, I think it's Jeff, but I'm not leaving here until I get confirmation." So he comes in, and he gives me his testimony. And I won't tell you my background, but let's just say I was looking for somebody like this, okay? He gives me his testimony. He says some guy came alongside him and told him about God, about God's love, came alongside him, really guided him through. And I just looked at him like, "Mike, that's awesome." I said, that's really kind of what I've been looking for. Now let's switch. Now let's be Mike for a second. You're looking for confirmation. How's that for confirmation?
Hallelujah.
Pretty good, huh? Well, we're going to look into the meaning of what does God mean by scatter? What does he mean by gather? What are maybe some practical ways that we can start together? Okay. It's all about sharing. You know, we're sharing that God's love with us, that God's love for us. We're sharing that with somebody else. Basically, Matthew 28:19, "Go forth and make disciples of all nations." Easy. We've all heard it. So what does God mean by scattering? And some of us think, well, I'm not scattering. I'm not out there pushing people away. I'm not telling people don't believe in God. Well, let me give you a picture. So before we moved here, we lived in Nebraska. Lived on a ranch, and we moved cows on horse. Anybody ever moved cows before? I don't care if it's on horse or whatever. Okay. All right. So I'm out there. I'm on horse. I'm maybe with two or three other people. Okay. So let's say we've all got this common goal. We're going towards this other pasture. And there's a gate into that pasture. Okay. We need to find that gate. Let's say there's another person out there. He's not chasing the cattle away. He's not waving his hands or anything. He's just standing there by that gate. That's all he's doing. You think those cows are going to go into that gate? He's not herding, but he's just standing there. That gives a picture of inaction being action. If you are not helping, you're hurting. And I think that's what God is trying to say here. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. How can we actively scatter, though? So what does it mean to scatter? So let's say we're scattering something. It means to chase away. That's actively. So to kind of flip back a little bit. We live our lives in a way that maybe we say one thing, but we do another. That's actively scattering. We ignore others. Easy to just keep on walking, isn't it? We see the hurt in others, but we keep on walking. That's actively scattering. What about in church? This one's a little far out there, but I'll leave it out there anyway. If we're not unifying, as in being in unity with one another in belief about Jesus Christ, what does that do?
It creates division.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm a little. This sermon was normally these sermons kind of write themselves for me, but I ended up rewriting this one just about the whole thing last night.
What are you doing?
What? So let's flip it now. So let's go back to gathering. What does God mean by gathering? How do you gather? So the very definition of gathering, it means to bring together. It's to take in from scattered places. For me, it's make disciples of all nations, going back to Matthew 28:19. That's what he means by that. Well, let's look at Jesus. How did Jesus gather? So, because we're all practical. We all need some sort of example, something that we want people to show us how to do it. I'm very visual. If somebody shows me, like construction, I didn't go to school for it. I just picked it up by watching guys. I'm very good at mimicking. So let's look at, how did he gather? Well, he was intentional. He didn't just say, "Well, you know, I think I'll just kind of gather a little bit today. I don't know. We'll see if something comes along." No, he went specifically. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, and the rest of the names that I can't remember. All these guys, he went up to them individually. Each one of them, and got them all. He was intentional. Let's look at Zacchaeus, Luke 19, 1 through 10, the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus is in a crowd, and I would have to assume this crowd is probably 50 people, okay? Zacchaeus can't see the guy, so he runs up ahead. He knows he's going to pass by this tree, so he goes up in this tree. Jesus has got 50 people around him. People are talking. They're trying to get his attention. What does he do? He looks up in the tree at Zacchaeus. He's looking for somebody. He finds him. And the list goes on. He was purposeful. He had a purpose, and he was going to work that purpose. He poured himself out into these guys, into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the 12 disciples. He also listened, and there are plenty of examples of that. So why don't we do the same? What keeps us from doing that? I can think of multiple examples in myself. And all this stuff, when I preach, I'm preaching to myself first. I'm just sharing what God has convicted me of. That's all. We've been told to do so. We know it's one of God's commandments. He's asked us to make disciples of all nations. Because we know what it's like to be loved by Jesus. This family of believers, my family, you are my family. This family of believers, we know what it's like to be loved by Jesus.
Amen.
Why are we not sharing that? Because we tell ourselves that we're not good enough. Well, let me just let it out here and now. You're right. You're not good enough. If we were good enough, what would we need God for?
Amen.
No, thanks, God. It's good. I'm good. I'm good. Maybe what you mean is you're not skilled enough. Okay, why are you not skilled enough? What is it that... are you spending time with God daily? And I'm talking daily. Some of us are morning people. I'm a morning person. Where are my morning larks out there? Okay, raise your hand. Come on. 5 o'clock. I'm up 5 o'clock. Just about every morning. I guess it was 5:30 this morning for us, but it's Sunday, so we'll do that. So where are night owls? Who's our night owls? Okay, if that's your best time of day, then that's when you should be spending time with God. Spending time in the Word, getting yourself skilled. God is gonna have grace in that time period for you, because he knows that you're awake. He knows that you're paying attention. He knows that, okay, this is the time when I can really get to him. That's the time we need to be spending. Right there. What else did Jesus do? Well, Jesus, are you praying? Just like Jesus did. Mark 1:35. Let's turn to there real quick. Mark 1:35. What did Jesus do? Don't tell me you're better than Jesus here. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. What's your prayer life like? Are you being intentional about it? Are you praying for somebody else to come along to disciple? This is where I think God is going to give us some skills. Are you reading, meditating, applying? Just like I said before, your job. We have to apply this stuff to our lives. If we don't apply it, it's just a good idea. That's all it is. I think a lot of times we want to control the outcome. But in that, are we saying we want to be judge, jury, and executioner? I'm not going to say that guy. He's all tatted up. Look at them tats. Oh my gosh, I can't even look at him. You know? He doesn't look like me. He doesn't act like me. And I get it. We all are comfortable with our own kind. If I wanted to be comfortable with my own kind, I could be sitting at a church in Harrison, Nebraska right now. Full of ranchers. Everybody knows the same thing. Everybody's moved cows. Everybody's, you know, trucked cows. Everybody's been to brandings. You know, there's where I could go. If I wanted to be like everyone else, that's where I could go. And I get it. It's uncomfortable. We want to control that outcome. We want to say, okay, God, if I'm going to say something, you better change that person. Period. Or I'm not doing this again. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:7. Turn there real quick. This is a good one. 1 Corinthians 3:7. Okay. I'll let you get there this time. All right, so 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, "So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Somebody said something. Adrian, you said something earlier. How providential. It's something about the outcome. We don't get to decide the outcome. God decides the outcome. We plant, we water, and boy, if God's gracious enough, we get to see that outcome. But if not, we just keep rolling. I don't know if I like this setup, Mark. I mean, I don't get to see these guys back there. I feel like I have to twirl around the whole time to make myself dizzy. Just keep twirling. Yeah, I mean, it's just a reminder of being able to see the outcome. You don't get to see it necessarily. God is going to teach us in this time, you know, of this time of meditating, applying, all these things. This is all knowledge that we gather in. We keep bringing in that knowledge, and I'm going to get to the practical here in just a minute. Are you practicing? And Julie, I'm going to pick on you for a second. How'd you get good at filming?
I started taking pictures when I was 12 years old.
So what
and
happened?
I continued to take pictures, and then I ended up going to film school.
And you were great right off the bat, right? Why?
Because when you're trying to take a picture of a squirrel and you think that it looks this big on the lens, it really looks this big when you print it out, and then all you can see is grass.
But you practice. You practice. Okay. Josh, were you a great gardener at first? No. What happened?
Everything died.
You made a mistake. Well, why didn't you just quit? Kept going. You kept practice. Kept practicing. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew something about construction before I got to Colorado. Oh boy, did I get humble. But I kept going.
All the stories about moving cows in the early years.
Yeah.
It was the Air Force mechanic moving cows.
Yeah. 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 Take an avionics guy and put him out moving cows.
Miscalculations.
Oh my. Yeah.
Flipping over four-wheelers and
practice. If we don't practice it, we're not going to get good at it. You know, skill. We all have great skills, but we're not all the best at first. We need to practice. So here's the practical. If you've been waiting for the practical. This doesn't work with all people for everything, but we've all seen a lot of it. It starts with a relationship. Okay? Relationship. Well, how do we get to that relationship? We gotta introduce ourselves. We can't just stand there. We gotta get to these people. Be intentional about it. Okay? So I'm going to give a little example here, and this isn't to lift me up. It's just something that really was laid real heavy upon my heart when I was in Winter Park. So those of you who don't know, we lived in Winter Park for a year, and that's how we got to this whole, we introduced Mark to the whole house church concept. So I was a house church pastor for Winter Park, and we were going through the book of Acts, and it was all about discipling. And so I challenged, and I'm going to throw the same challenge out to you. You pick three people, either in your influence, someone to look for, even a sibling, a parent, somebody, and you pray for them. Start by praying for them. Pray for an instance to, some way to witness to them. We we actually put that list together and we all prayed together. And I told him, I said, I want you to look for a way to get a hold of them this week. Every week. You get a hold of them and you don't have to say anything. Really, listening is a big one. You're going to hear the hurt in their heart eventually. And throughout all that, you're just going to look for God's leading. He's going to show you. I'll just go revert right back to the guy that discipled me. You know, he God had laid upon his heart to come alongside somebody. So he prayed about it. He went around the shop. I mean, and I'm talking for probably 2 months before he finally decided it was me. So it might take a while, but you'll get there. Another thing about the practical, and this practical part, and this is kind of goes back to why we don't, is that we think it's about us. We think this whole discipling thing is about us. We think that we have to be good enough. We think that we have to be skilled enough. We think that all this stuff. Well, if I could just get this straight first, then we'll go ahead and do it. Well, how's that going for you? It's not about you and your ability. You get just as much about it out of this. In fact, more than the other person will get. Guaranteed. I guarantee it. Learning retention. I should have made this a slide. You know that you retain 5% of a lecture. That's your retention rate. 5%. 10% from reading. 20% if it's an audiovisual. 30% from somebody demonstrating something, from a demonstration. 50% from a discussion group, and that's assuming that the discussion group isn't so big that everybody can talk. 75% by practicing. I think I've heard that one before. And 90% if you teach it.
90% what?
If you teach it. So really, this is about me getting more out of it than you are today. Well, what are some of the results of gathering? People are saved. Amen. People get to know who Jesus is. Yes. I heard this term, the Navigators came up with this term. It's called spiritual multiplication. So let's go back to Mike Chandler. So Mike and I are meeting, okay? After 1 year, we still meet, but we split. Now he goes and disciples another person, and I go and disciple a person. First we had 2. After another year, we have 4. Another year, we have 8. And 16. And 32. You get the picture. What if everybody in this room discipled one person for this next year? One person. We would double this church, mm-hmm. unless people move away.
Yeah. Well, but then they go disciple there and they double the church there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we're selfish here, so we want them to stay here. another result, you're bearing good fruit. We all know the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness, thank you. It's all good stuff. All that stuff comes out, and we're bearing that good fruit. We're showing people that fruit in our lives. The blessing for you is that you get to see a life changed. Can you imagine? Has anybody ever seen, got to see a life change? Anyway, I, is Has that made you just about cry? Mm-hmm. I only got, so here's what happened to me. Right before I left for Nebraska from Oregon, I got to see, now this is a different Oregon, so please don't judge. This was back when Oregon was actually semi-okay. Not that I haven't
been semi.
I am an Oregonian too by birth. So I told God, I said, I want to tell somebody within my work about God and what happened to me. I want to give them my story before I leave. And so he gave me this name, Dan Connor. And Dan wasn't just anybody. He was somebody I knew from when I first got there, and he had really climbed the ranks hard. And he was a senior master sergeant. So E8, if you know anything about, E9 is as high as you can go. So I go over to his shop, or I call him up. I said, hey, Dan, I just wanted to, you know, come over and say goodbye before I leave. And I said, let's get together. He said, yeah, okay, come over this morning. So I get over there, and I'm super nervous. And I couldn't believe I was doing what I was doing. I gave him my story. He asked me, a couple people, and he was one of them. They really pressed me, like, why are you leaving? And there's a whole other story to that, and I'm not going to get into it. But I gave him my whole testimony and how God had changed me. And we parted ways. It was great. You know, he accepted my story. We get to Nebraska, and I get this email one day. And Kim actually gets it first. She says, you know, hey, got this email. I think you need to see it. And Dan had emailed me, and he said, Jeff, I really appreciate you sharing with me. And I want you to know I'm going to church now. And it just so happened it was a church that my boss was going to, too. So, and him and I were really tight. And I don't know if Kim seen it that day, but I about started bawling. I could not believe it, that God let me see that. That was so awesome. I loved it. So practice is going to make us more, we practice all these things. Practice is going to make us more confident, more competent, and we are going to find out, and be I'm going to tell you, beware right now, you're going to find out more about yourself than what you ever thought you ever knew. Because that's one thing that's been, and I said that before in another sermon, is that these last probably 5 years of my life have just been really God reflecting back on me, who I've really been and who I really am. Some of it's been good, but it's been a real eye-opener for me. So let's conclude this whole thing before I go too far here. Matthew 28:19, go make disciples of all nations. It's a commandment. And you don't have to turn there, but I'll just say 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify, hold dear, protect. Always be ready. When we sanctify, we're constantly practicing. We're constantly getting better skilled. You got to start somewhere. It's going to be uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's going to be that way. There's probably almost never going to be a spot where you're just so comfortable that, you know, although some of us get that way, if not me. You're going to fail in your own eyes. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. You're going to think, you're going to walk away from some situation that you're going to say, you know what? I failed that person. Oh, man, I should have said it like that. Or I should have said that verse. I should have told him that verse. You're going to say exactly what God wants you to say. Because God already knows it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Learn from those things. And don't quit. Because in the end, you will lead people to Christ, period. That's what it comes down to. You're going to get to see lives changed. And that's it. Appreciate you guys. Let's stand up, and we're going to pray for one another. All right, just find a hand. All right.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.